How are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, last Hemingway's of the season, 50th anniversary. Yes, a big thanks to all of you for coming out, and a big thanks to Hop Farms and our lovely readers, and of course, Don and Joan and Silsby for helping out. Let's give them all a big round of applause. Yep. So Chris couldn't be here today, so I'm filling in, and I am also just going to share one of my favorite poems. It's kind of a difficult poem, but I feel like it encapsulates the big ideas and also intimacy at the same time. It's by one of my favorite poets, Bridget Pegeen Kelly. Some of you may know her poem Song. This comes from the book called Song, but the version I'm going to read is actually from the Kenyon Reviews website. Because it is a little complex, I'm going to set it up a tiny bit. There's a dead deer, it's on its back, and the narrator is speaking to someone named Huck, who seems to be her son. All right, can you guys hear me? Yep, okay. All right. Dead Doe One by Bridget Pegeen Kelly from the Kenyon Review for Huck. The doe lay dead on her back in a field of asters. No. The doe lay dead on her back beside the school bus stop. Yes. Where we waited. Her belly white as a cut pear. Where we waited. No. Off from where we waited, yes, at a distance, making a distance we kept, as we kept her dead run in sight, that we might see if she chose to go skyward, that we might run too, turn tail if she came near and troubled our fear with presence, with ghostly blossoming, with the fountain's unstoppable blossoming, and the black stain the algae makes when the water stays near. We can take the gilt-edged strolling of the clouds, yes. But the risen from the dead, no. The halo-y trouble shooting of the goldfinches in the bush, yes, but in season. Kept within bounds. Not in the pirated rows of corn. Not above winter's pittance of river. The doe lay dead. She lent her deadness to the morning. That the morning might have weight. That our waiting might matter, be upheld by significance, by light on the rhododendron, by the ribbons the sucked mint loosed on the air, by the treasonous gold-leveled passage of season, and you, from me, child, from me, from, not mother, no, but the weather that would hold you, yes, hothouse you to fattest blooms, keep you in mild, unceasing rain, and the fixed stations of heat, like a pedaled note, or the held breath sucked in, and stay, yes, stay. But no, not done, can't be. The doe lay dead, she could do nothing. The dead can mother nothing, nothing but our sight. They mother that, whether they will or no. They mother our looking, the gap the tongue prods when the tooth is missing, when fancy seeks the space. The doe lay dead, yes, and at a distance, with her legs up and frozen, she tricked our vision. At a distance, she was, for a moment, no deer at all, but two swans. We saw two swans, and they were fighting, or they were coupling, or they were stabbing the ground for some prize worth nothing, but fought over, for so worth that, worth the fought over glossiness, the morning's fragile tubed glory. And this is the soul, like it or not. Yes, the soul comes down. Yes, comes into the deer. Yes, who dies. Yes, and in her death twins herself into swans, fools us with mist and accident into believing her newfound finery, and we are not afraid, though we should be. and we are not afraid as we watch her soul fly on, paired as a soul always is, with itself, with others. Two swans, child, we are done for in the most remarkable ways. Bridget Begin-Gelly. So thank everyone for coming again. We have great readers, which Joan is going to introduce. And we're going to send us around the tip jar for the lovely people here at Hop Farms. All right, take it away, Joan.